This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And believe it or not, we are actually going to a real in-person live convention, Magic Convention. That's right. And the first one out of the chute over here after 18 months of being in quarantine is going to be in Colon, Michigan. And that's going to be the 83rd Abbott's Magic Get-Together. And it's going to be just a ton of fun. You'll be go to the website. You can see all the people who are going to be lined up to do this. And it just looks like we're a pebble and a slingshot that's just been stretched so far back and just ready to be let go. Because, golly, it's going to be fantastic. Looking really forward to this one, unlike many others. In fact, here I am getting ready to fly on my magic carpet, Southwest Airlines, again here out of Hobby, on the red eye, and I was up all night long. And when I say that, I mean that. I just was so overly anxious and waiting to get, I had everything all packed and just could hardly wait for morning to come, and so I didn't. I mean, I was up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I was up at 4 o'clock, and actually my Uber driver got there and time to get me over to the airport, and so here we are. And so it's going to be, we're going to be loading up the plane here in about another 15 minutes or so at 6:15 a.m. Yeah, this is a red-eye flight, and then heading to Nashville, connecting there on to Detroit, where I get a car with Trixie Bond and her husband Mark Exford, and we are going to be heading down then to Colon, Michigan, and be reporting more once we arrive. And just make sure you tune in each day for all of the exciting things we're going to be talking about, people we're going to be talking with, things we're going to be doing. The agenda is quite full, and so it's just going to unfold as it does. And this is, what could I say, just kind of beside myself with glee. And another reason I am is because I just picked up my Dunkin' Donuts. Haven't had Dunkin' Donuts since I can't remember when. Certainly haven't had them at the airport, because this is, again, is my first flight, actually my second flight in the last 18 months. I had a show in North Carolina or South Carolina about a month ago, but that was the first time I got out and into the airplane. But this is the first time going to a Magic Convention, so now I got some Dunkin' Donuts, and let's just kind of take a peek inside the old sack to see what we got here today. Looks like Scotty, Big Scotty, getting bigger, is going to have double chocolate, and what else did I get? Oh, I got a Boston cream. I forgot what I got. So there you go, and some good hot black coffee. Let me get that soups up here. Yeah, that's good coffee. All right, listen, this is going to be a lot of fun. I hope you are as excited as I am. And, boy, there'll be more to come here shortly as this all unfolds. So until we get to Detroit, and or maybe to Colon, who knows when this next one's going to be. I might chat with Trixie while we're talking a little bit, or before we get there, too. So we will see what we see. And until later, this is Scotty out. To Detroit, Michigan, then right now. We boarded the magic carpet, and sitting next to me is another convention attendee, Ms. Trixie Bond. Hey, Trixie.
Good. A very early good morning to you.
It is. What, kind of early.
Yeah, I mean, we went to bed at 1, got up at 4 a.m. to catch a 7 a.m. flight this morning, but in the end, it's going to be worth it. Because today we land in Colon, Michigan for the Abbott's. Is this the 75th
convention? 83rd. I think it's the 83rd. Yeah.
I knew they had a little experience doing this.
A little bit.
This will be my second time going, and it was on my bucket list for a long time. I got to go in 2019 and just had a fabulous time. It reminds me of what the Texas Association of Magicians Conventions was in the 1960s. Small, friendly, super friendly.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that we have the magic shows in the high school gymnasium where the high school mascot is a bunny rabbit.
Yes.
And the last time I was there, I bought these t-shirts that said, "Fear the Bunny."
That's fine.
I love that. And Colon is such a beautiful town. They hang out Magic Capital of the World flags on the lampposts, and the beautiful garden as you enter the town, sponsored by, I guess it's the Lions Club, which, by the way, Mark and I joined the Lions Club while we were there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the house we're staying at, and you'll be staying there this time too, he is the membership chairman for the Lions Club in Colon. So, Scott, get ready.
Okay.
You're going to get your wallet out.
I may be joining too.
You will have to join. Okay. That's part of the prerequisite of staying there.
Okay.
But the convention itself is just wonderful, the way they structure the dealer's room in the elementary school, and shows in the high school, lectures around. There's vendors that are on the streets under tarps and tents, and people camp and stay in other people's homes. And it's just all very conducive to such a nice, unusual atmosphere. I like this. I think I like it better than the Vegas conventions, because it's just more warm and friendly.
It really is warm and friendly, and it's interesting that you compare that to the early days of the TAOM, which used to be, of course, originally a picnic. But you've been around for a long time, and actually you were a junior winner, sage winner, of the TAOM. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I just got my 50 order of Merlin Excalibur.
Congratulations.
Yes, thanks.
IBM.
In IBM, and I guess I'll get a certificate for SAM as well, because I've been a member 50 years of both of those.
Wow.
That's a lot of conventions.
That is a lot of conventions. Have you kept your badges like I have?
I got a drawer full. You know, they come in handy, too. Let me tell you. In, I guess it was 2006, I was audited by the IRS.
Yeah.
And they wanted... I had some travel expenses. This is doing a lot of lectures and traveling around that time at conventions. And, well, prove it, they said. So I hauled out programs and badges, and I think this infuriated the IRS even more, because I had all that stuff. So, see, there is a purpose of keeping it.
That's interesting. Well, I have been posting my badges online on Facebook.
I've seen that, yeah.
And I'm up to over 100, and I've still got a lot more to go. But they had asked me to bring my badges and donate them to the American Museum of Magic.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
My suitcase is full of all my badges now.
Oh, my gosh.
They said apparently people who go to Marshall, Michigan to see the American Museum of Magic are familiar with the convention at Abbott's, because it's just up the road. But they don't know about all the other conventions. So by looking at my badges, they can see about all the other hundreds of other conventions around the world.
Oh, my God, Scott, you could paper a wall with all your badges.
Probably so.
I know. Probably me, too.
You, too. That's right.
I've had those in the convention programs or something else.
Yeah, I brought two suitcases, and one of them is half filled with my badges. The other half is golf stuff for the golf tournament tomorrow, for the Open Cup.
You're going to play?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I've got some clubs reserved for me tomorrow, so yes, I'm planning on playing. It's always a lot of fun. It's hot. It's very hot and humid, but it's a lot of fun.
It's not hot and humid in Colon.
Oh, you might be surprised. Sometimes it is just like Houston.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to being a little more cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's what I'm thinking. Going north, we should be cooler. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, goodness gracious, the names that are coming into Colon this year. Since Vegas has been closed, all these guys working in Vegas are coming. And Lance Burton's also going to be here. And Jeff Hobson, right?
Right. Pat King.
I mean, what names? You don't have to go to Vegas. You can watch them in a high school gymnasium. This is going to be great.
That's true. Yep, it's going to be amazing. I think David Williamson should be here, and Chad Long, Franz Ferrari.
I mean, what names?
Yeah.
So the magicians just take over the town.
That's a cool thing, too, yes, where they really do take over the town. The town embraces the magicians so much.
And also, this year we'll be honoring Walter Planey with a memorial service, and I understand his daughter, Becky, my friend, is coming in as well. So it's a very special place in the Colon Cemetery, where all these names that I've known over the past 50 plus years are buried. It's quite moving to go through there, and headstones are really cool too.
Yeah, there are a lot of really cool ones. Well, someday you can come through and see my headstone.
Well, you and Kathy both,
right? That's right. We're going to be right next to Walter.
Well, maybe I'll buy one.
You ought to while you're there.
Yep.
All right. We ought to get ready to service over here.
We better put our thing over our mask.
Should.
Oh, back to, or we'll be fine.
So we'll catch you in Colon when we get there for the Magic Bird Podcast. That was Trixie Bond. This is Scotty out. All right, so we have arrived in Colon, Michigan, and gotten checked into an individual's home here, actually. Of course, now they don't have any motels or hotels or any kind of lodging in Colon, so you need to recognize that when you come here to go and stay at a hotel. You're going to go to Sturgis or Coldwater, which is about 20, 30 minutes away in either direction, I guess. So here, basically, you have to stay in someone's home who might open that to you from time to time. And but the person I'm running into who is staying here at the hotel at this home is also the stage manager and has been for 35 years or
about
so.
That, yeah.
Not that, yeah. Is my buddy Mark Holstein. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm so glad to see you. Really glad after all of this ridiculous pandemic is over. We've stayed in touch. You have been online with me many times during the broadcast we've been doing for Thursday night happy hours.
Sure.
So thanks for doing that.
No, absolutely. And it was fun to actually be a guest on that.
Yes.
And of course, we had the biggest turnout for the one I was on.
Well, you did.
Not because of me, of course. It was because Murray
was
on.
Well,
no, yeah, because of Sue, right.
Yeah.
It was actually because Murray was on and he has a big social media following.
That was amazing. Yeah, of course, Murray's got like, I don't know, millions of followers and everything. And so, we had like 2,500 people like within the first few hours.
Yeah, and then everybody else went, well, who are those two old people that are sitting here with Murray?
But exactly.
It was good fun.
Yeah. So you've been staying here, though, for a number of years, you were saying.
So it's 35 years, 34, because we missed last year, of course, with COVID.
Yeah.
But we've known the Adrian since 1986 and have been staying here every year. I've been coming to the get-together for 44 years, so I was kind of drifting around through other homes.
You were in Chicago, of course.
Yeah, I was in Chicago initially and staying with other people in town. And then in 1986, the Bordners, who were friends with Russ and Lorene, hooked us up here, and they're like family now.
Wow. And I know if you will go back, dear listener, into the archives and just do a search for Mark Holstein, you can hear our conversation when she was talking about things like when he was working the Bozo Show and some other kinds of things back then. And in fact, he's going to be one of the performers here also. So you hauled a trailer all the way up from Houston, which was a two-day drive.
From Driftwood, actually. Driftwood, Texas.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It was a two-day drive. In part,
Driftwood being north of Austin, by the way, for people.
Yeah, in part because we brought some props with us, and also in part because our great friend Mary Brodeen is gifting us a piece from Marshall's collection, which is quite large, so we'll need the trailer to bring it home.
Oh, okay. So you got room in there right now?
I do
have room. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was filled with all of
your
stuff.
No. We're only doing 15 minutes on Friday, so we didn't have to fill the trailer.
So you were saying earlier about the talent, and this is just an awesome lineup of people, and even those who are just attending. What were you saying?
In my view, the people in the audience, the talent in the audience is going to surpass most conventions. I mean, people really wanted to come out and support the Bordners. You know, they had to cancel last year, which was heartbreaking for them and heartbreaking for me. There was, so we say, a bit of an opposition group in town that did their own thing. And, my own personal view, and that's all it is. This is a bit of a poke in the eye. But, whatever they did. Well, as a result of that, on the Friday night of the get-together, I pulled together a Zoom meeting of old Abbott's compatriots. Mm-hmm. And we had a great turnout. We had
Last year
on Friday night, when we would have been in the auditorium, we were on a Zoom meeting instead. And we had Jim Steinmeier, Lance Burton, Matt King, Joel Hodgson. I won't even remember everybody. Mike Caveney. And we had a great time just celebrating Abbott's. And as a result of that, all these guys got really excited about the get-together. And they all said, we want to come back. And so the first one to put his hand up and volunteer was Lance. And he said he'd bring his entire show. And then, of course, everybody else jumped on the bandwagon to support the Bordners. You know, you think about half of the talent, maybe more than half of the talent this year, started at this convention.
That's a good point. And yeah. You got Franz Ferrari and Kevin James.
Stuart McDonald, you know, Kevin James, that's right.
Lance, Jeff Hobson.
Lance won first place here before he won the IBM trophy. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to the IBM, then he went to FISM, and then he had a couple of little shows in Las Vegas. But, I mean, you know, he credits his experience at Abbott's first coming here as a guest with Harry Collins and then later competing in the contest as really being fundamental to starting his career. So this is sacred ground for him.
It is. And this year's lineup, as you said, it's what, $100,000 worth?
Yeah, I've been telling people it's $100,000 worth of talent, and it's easily that if you really stop and add it all up. Mm-hmm. And because of the generosity of all of these tremendous talents, we're going to have that kind of a lineup. It's really stunning.
And let me say for all of you out there who are listening to this when this comes out, you still have time to attend. I remember a few years ago I was posting this, and Tom Dombrowski had come over from Chicago the next day. He said, I was listening to your podcast from yesterday's report, and I just had to come in today. So he drove over. My point being is, if you're listening to this, this is really just beginning, and it's going to be off the hook, crazy fun, and you don't want to miss Thursday night. Mark's not going to tell us anything about it other than just kind of trying to whet your appetite. So
we've got, so the Thursday night show as it stands is absolutely phenomenal. Mike Caveney put together a tremendous lineup, some of you may not be familiar with Joel Hodgson. He was last here about 25 years ago.
Mystery Science 3000.
That's exactly right. And he is an Abbott's fanatic, so mm-hmm. he wanted to be here. And the last time he was here, he literally brought the house down. I'm sure he'll do it again on Thursday night. Tim Wright is on doing Scaldini. Mike will be on. Tina Leonard will be on. Mack King. So a phenomenal show.
Yeah.
Guy Hollingsworth was supposed to be on the show, but was not able to make the trip. So we have a replacement. And all I can tell you is it's going to be an, oh my effing God, when this person walks out on stage. No one will see it coming. A real surprise, and I'm just thrilled. We can't say who it is because of certain contractual things, but mm-hmm. Everyone is going to be blown away.
That's great. And because you're the stage manager, you have to know what's kind of going on.
I do. And I've not personally worked with this person, so I'm really excited to have the opportunity.
And the people who are on your staff, on your crew, they don't even know yet.
No, because
they've been trying to get it out of you.
They have big mouths, and they'll tell. So yeah. I haven't told them.
No one can keep a secret better than you. I mean, you were an attorney. I mean, you were in charge of the BP oil spill. I mean, you're like the guy, you know.
I do confidentiality pretty well.
Yes. Yes, you do. Well, I'm excited about this week, and I can tell that you are then as well. And it is going to be just off the hook. Fun. And the weather looks really good.
Incredible weather. Absolutely. We're coming up from Texas where it's been brutally hot. Mm. It's really going to be a beautiful week. Lots of activities, lots of lectures, some really special lectures. On Saturday, Franz Ferrari is hosting a lecture that's basically called the Greatest Contest That Ever Was. And it's going to be the 1977 Abbott's Contest. That's the contest Lance won. Mack King was second place. I think Franz didn't even place.
Jeff was third, I think.
Jeff was absolutely right. Jeff was third. So we're going to have that. There's going to be a panel discussion with Lance and his group about what life on the road is like, mm-hmm. touring with an illusion show. So that's going to be absolutely great. David Williamson and Chad Long are doing a lecture together, and that's going to be a little like dropping Mentos into a bottle of Coke. It should be really, really fantastic.
Yeah.
Ice McDonald's doing a lecture. I won't remember them all, but it's going to be an amazing week.
When you said weather-wise, it's perfect. Also, I was figuring it's going to be, it was hot in Houston, and I thought, sometimes I've been here, it's been hot and humid when we played golf, and we're going to do that tomorrow. So I only brought one pair of jeans. But when I got up here, it's probably 78 degrees.
There'll be a couple of nights where it's going to get down in the 50s, which is going to be wonderful.
Okay, yeah, it will be. It will be great. I'm going to be having to wash my jeans while I'm here.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's been great. I'm looking forward to it. We'll chat more later this week than Mark. So
you know
good
where you'll
you.
Find me starting Wednesday.
That's right. What time do you actually get back to the house then after you wrap up at each evening's
show? Well, it depends on whether I go to the Legion or not. We usually finish up about 40 minutes after the show finishes.
Oh, okay.
The final night, Saturday, of course, we have to tear everything out, mm-hmm. and that takes longer. But on an average show night, we're usually done 35, 40 minutes after.
I guess that's true, because everyone goes to the Legion and hangs out until like 2 in the morning or something.
Yeah, well, I'm getting too old for that. But
well, I know what you mean, brother. All right, so until later, that was Mark Holstein, stage manager this year, as every year, here at Abbott's. This is Scotty out. Well, here it is on Tuesday, and we are at the St. Joe Golf Club. St. Joe, what's it called?
St. Joe Valley.
Valley.
In Nottawa, Michigan.
In Nottawa. Someone asked me about that, and I wasn't sure where it is. Near Pawpaw, not too far from...
Well, it's equidistant between Centerville and Colon.
Okay, there we go. Just outside Colon.
Just about 25 minutes west.
Okay. And I'm here with Al the Only. Hey, Al.
Hello, Scott. Great to see you again, buddy.
And you as well. You have been the person who's been running this for now how many years?
This is 32.
32 years.
I'm not that old.
I was going to say you started when you were just 5 years old.
And I still golf that bad.
That's your handicap?
No, I'm a 34 handicap. Thank you for asking.
We're getting close, though.
Yes.
In a couple of years, we'll be having Al the Only Civ Open Colon. It'll be called Al the Only's Handicap Tournament.
Exactly. Did you have fun today?
I had a wonderful time. This was the absolutely most spectacular weather ever, I have to say. It was not hot, not cold, wasn't cloudy, not really much breeze. It probably was, 78 degrees?
It was gorgeous.
It was,
and
yeah,
we had a great turnout. 24 golfers.
24 golfers, and because of all the rain they've had, the course was in immaculate shape.
Yes, it was.
Greens held, and fairways were nice. It was fun.
Yeah, it really was.
And so you never know from year to year how this the weather always changes.
No, we've been rained out, I think, 3 times in the 30-some years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been COVIDed out once.
Yeah.
Our average turnout is 14. Sometimes we have 12, sometimes we have 16 or 18. But this year, I don't know. Everybody turned out and had a great time.
We did. And this was also the first time we've had it on a Tuesday?
Actually, we began on Tuesday.
Okay.
And with diminishing attendance, we thought maybe we'd get more people on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely pleasantly surprised that on a Tuesday this many people showed up. So we may go back to Tuesdays.
I like the Tuesday because it gives us a little bit more time than on Wednesdays before the rest of the convention begins and other activities that are happening. And
well, I'm going to take a consensus and we'll decide what we'll do next year.
Yeah. Now, for those who are golfers, explain a little bit about the tournament, the kind of setup we have. We play skins and everything else as far as the...
We play a skins game, and to make it fair for the occasional golfer, we do a 97 below and a 98 above. So this way, somebody who's shooting a 110 has an opportunity to win some money.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are exceptional or even just good golfers, they can compete against themselves.
Yeah.
The other thing we do is it doesn't matter of your skill level. We use a one-day handicapping system called that Callaway, and it really brings the group together. A person who has shot a 110 with the Callaway system may end up with a 95.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a scratch golfer is his score, but it really brings the group together. And the important thing is everybody has fun on the course. Everybody has, you know, we have coffee and donuts to begin. Some guys add a little libation throughout the day. So it's just a fun way to begin Magic Week with some magic friends.
And they get hot dogs and Polish on
well,
the turn.
Today we did.
Okay, yeah, that was nice. I was going to say that wasn't something we usually have.
No, this yeah. They call it the no-frills golf outing for a special reason. You ain't getting nothing.
Now, the name of this, who was the silly guy who came up with the name Open Colon to begin with?
Ab Dixon. Ab Dixon, who never golfed, as we were putting the golf outing together, we needed a name for it. And, you know, you have the U.S. Open, you have the PGA Open. Well, this is the Colon Open.
Colon Open, yeah. There's a difference in open colon and colon.
Well, yeah. Well, so he, as a play on the words, he called it the open colon.
Yeah. A lot of fun. I think people, if they're going to be coming, if you enjoy golf, you ought to come out early and
please,
do this
yeah.
in the future years.
It really is just a nice way to start off Magic Week. If you love to golf, it's a great way to start.
It is a lot of fun, and a lot of people have great friendships here because you get to spend 4 hours in a cart with somebody.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And get to know each other a lot more intimately.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah, highly recommend. You do a great job every year. Thank
well,
you.
You're very
and Lori
kind.
Also.
Well, Lori puts up with me. And.
But she's also the cart girl who kind of goes around a little bit.
No. Lori actually plays.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And somehow my dear friend Len Roddy is always stuck with her, or she's always stuck with Len. We haven't decided who picked the short straw on that one.
And so after this is over, you're going to be heading back to? Maui, or were you?
Yeah, we're going back home. Fun to see friends, but it's good to go back home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since you're in charge of all this, I'm going to let you go because you got a lot of
Scott, I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate everything you do, getting the news out to everyone. Yep. And I'm glad you're part of the golf group.
Well, I'm glad you're part of my friend group then as well.
Thank you, my friend.
So thanks for being here, and thanks for all that you're doing over there. So
aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, that's right. And also I want to thank Bill Cook for the cigar, by the way. Then, Bill, that was awesome. Thank you very much.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh.
So did that come from Benny's in Chicago?
Yes. Yeah, but it was it's just because it came from the humidor.
I was going to say, there's your matches.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I like Benny's. I like their logo with a martini glass for the Y.
You know, and so his wife, the owner of Benny's, has a cigar itself, and I cannot recommend it.
It's not that all great.
No.
Okay. How'd you do today? You had fun.
Hey, Al, how'd I do today?
Well, he beat the two old-timers he played with.
There we go.
Yes.
Does that include Jeff?
He has a bigger ego than we do.
It's very fragile. My ego's very fragile. I had a great time today. I've been looking forward to this since the second Al posted on Facebook that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was, I think, the third or fourth person to be like, I'm in. And I had missed it by like 10 minutes.
Have you played before? I don't remember seeing you here every year.
No. This is my first time playing here. I golf with my dad at home. So, but this is my first time doing it here.
Yeah.
I loved it. This course is gorgeous.
It was. They've had a lot of rain, so that's why I think the fairway and the greens are all good, too.
Al tells me there's only five sand traps on the course, and I found all of them.
There weren't that many sand traps, but that's right.
There's one point Jeff Hobson goes into a sand trap, and he hadn't been in one, and he's all upset. And I go, hey, Jeff, and I threw him my sunscreen. I go, all you need is a towel, and you're good to go. You got your day at the beach. The look this man gave me. And then throws it back and then proceeds to chip out of the sand and within like an inch of the hole. And he just smiles because, you know.
I was playing with Michael Mode, and he was short on his putts most of the day. And so to the point where I said, hey, he pulled a Michael. So every time somebody was short, I would say, you pulled a Michael. So on the last hole, he was about to putt, and I said, okay, you're going to pull a Michael, aren't you? And he just hit that putt across the green. He just hit it like he teed it up and drove it.
So Jeff got my ego at one hole, and he was I forget what you said that made me just haul off and whack the snot out of the ball. Now, did it go straight? No. Did it go long? Enough. But it felt so good to just murder the ball. And then Jeff goes, well, pissed him off, didn't I?
So, Jeff, how was your day? Did you enjoy the golf?
I feel really uncomfortable talking into something that looks like a roadkill.
Are you talking about Bill Cook?
Hey, no. Wow.
Well, he's got this long hair now and this beard. He doesn't look like the old Bill I know. You know?
Thanks. My mom hates it, but what are you going to do?
He's Jesus.
Scott?
Sir?
Mr. Cook says he plays golf with his dad.
Yes.
Today he was playing with his granddads.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, the old guys.
This was great.
Well, we had fun. It was great. Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, you bet. That was Al, Bill, and Jeff. Scotty out. All right. So now we are over in Shipshewana, and we have just finished our excellent dinner with about 79 people or so, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm here with Michael Mode, who I played golf with here today. We had a wonderful golf time. Didn't we? Nice weather and everything. So.
Oh, it's perfect. How are you doing, Scott?
Good to see you. Good to see you, Mike.
Yeah.
I know that you're very busy because you're the guy to put this whole thing together, but how many years you've been doing this? And tell me a little bit about what this is so people know what we're talking about.
So we've got the Amish Magic Chicken Dinner, which is annually the Tuesday night before the get-together starts. This started way back in the late 80s when my mom used to bring me down to the get-together. We'd come to Shipshewana, Indiana, which is a big Amish community, and we'd go to the restaurant for all-you-can-eat chicken dinner. And then years later, I picked the tradition back up, and it would just be, you know, a half dozen of us. It was Gabe Fahuri and few other friends, and we'd come down here and have dinner, Al the Only and his wife Lori.
Yeah.
And then years later, we made friends with some Amish folks down here, some really good people, and we started going to their house after their farm. And they'd give us buggy rides, and then we would do some close-up magic for them, and Then the next year, they invited a few more Amish friends, and we invited a few more magicians, and the thing just kept growing and growing. Tonight, we have almost 70 people, which is way more than we've ever had. Normally, you know, we've got about a third of this, if that. But because the get-together is extra popular this year, tonight was extra popular. And we've got perfect weather, and, you know, we just can't wait. We're getting ready to leave here to go over to the farm. We're going to do buggy rides and some magic, and then we've got a show. So the Amish are going to get to see Jeff Hobson and Bill Cook and Fred Becker and a few other friends perform. Trino, John LaChance, and Jeff Bibbick. I'm going to take the night off because I've been busy organizing everything.
You have. Yeah, take a break.
Yeah, so it's a great time. Did you get enough to eat?
Did I? Yeah. We had fried chicken. We had some brisket.
Roast beef.
And, of course, the meatloaf was
Amish
awesome.
Amish meatloaf.
Yep, and then we had stuffing. We had mashed potatoes, had green beans.
The noodles?
Noodles, yeah. Homemade noodles that were great. And then, of course, had a salad before that, and then we'll finish off with, like, homemade pie. I had peanut butter, which is my favorite.
They had, we had the raspberry cream, and then my wife Lisa had the coconut cream, so we shared those.
Yeah. And then they got the stuff on the tables, which is the homemade applesauce.
Butter?
Apple butter, yep. And then there's some sort of peanut
Amish
butter.
Amish peanut butter, which is peanut butter mixed with marshmallow sauce.
And corn syrup.
It's like Amish crack. It's amazing. Yeah, it's really
good.
You
put that on bread, or you put that on top of the chocolate cream pie a little bit, and you've got some heaven on earth.
It's really good. So I'm glad you could make it. And, man, we just eaten, and we're having fun, and this is what it's all about.
Thanks, Mike. That was Michael Mode. And we are here. What's the name of this place again?
We're at the Blue Gate Restaurant in Shipshewana, Indiana.
Shipshewana, Indiana. So we're just across the border from Michigan here on the northern part of so here we are. Thanks again. Appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you, Scott.
That's Michael Mote. Scotty out. So we have finished dinner over at the
Blue Gate.
Blue Gate. I can always get them mixed up. That's right. And I'm now with one of my favorite magicians. I've never told you. I really admire this guy, Alex Boyce, who is New York City.
Yes.
And we were just talking about the New York Monday Night Magic, which was virtual over the last year, as most things have been. And you were doing that. And you were saying, now what? New York's starting to come back? Or tell me a little bit.
Yeah, New York's starting to reopen a bit. The show I'm in the city, Speakeasy Magic at the McKittrick, has just reopened. We've done 2 weeks of that.
Now, is that the one that Todd Robbins was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he hosts that and puts that all together. And so we've just, it's been, you know, you can imagine getting back and having live audiences and people in the room are, you know, going to a place to see magic, they're really excited and having a great time. And my partner Adam Rubin and I have been doing a show called Bizarre Brooklyn, which has been
at the same location there.
That's in Brooklyn. We do sort of an outdoor walking magic experience, and I'm sure many of the listeners will have heard of Bizarre Bath before.
Sure, been there.
Oh, very cool. So Noel Britton was very nice to give us permission to use the name Bizarre Brooklyn and give us some, like, tips and things. And not so much about the magic, but more about, like, how long are people comfortable walking? And what's the difference about how long can you ask people to walk between spots on your stop? And so we've been really having a great time. And we just got a New York Times review that your listeners can go check out and hopefully visit us if they're in New York sometime between now and October.
And if they want to get tickets, they'd go where?
BizarreBrooklyn.com.
Is that two Z's or two R's?
It's one Z, two R's.
Okay.
Yes, for the bizarre. But we're watching courtside Amish basketball.
We are.
I've never had this experience before. I'm thinking, you and I, we've been to Cuba together.
That's
here
right.
We are in Amish country. You know, it's all kinds of world experiences.
And you've shared several of them with me.
Yes. It's amazing.
I feel special.
Yeah, well, me too.
And, this is a little bit different. We have, just had dinner. Was that the first time you've had dinner over there?
I've been to Abbott's once before in 2014, but I didn't go to the Amish dinner. I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And now, Michael Mode was telling me that, you know, typically I have like 20, 25 people, and this year there's like 70 people or so here for this. So, yeah, it's really fun.
It was. It was really good. I mean, $27, you know, for all that. It was, including the tip and tax and everything. Yeah,
it was a treat.
And then, right now, we have come over then. Well, prior to that, what we did is we went to what was called the Amish Costco.
Yeah, Amish Costco. It's self.
Tell them what your experience was.
Well, I just, there's a lot. It's, imagine Costco, but Amish.
We're right there on the front end.
Right, we're front row seats.
On the bench.
Exactly. You got buggy rides happening. It's a lot of action. Yeah, we just went in and checked out. We've got a house on the lake, so we made sure we had some good s'more stuff for the week and try to pack up for that. But yeah, we're having a great time.
Yeah, and again, right now we're going to be watching a magic show up here shortly.
Yeah.
And well, with that, I mean, what they do, again, well, we talked a little bit earlier. You didn't get to hear, but when I was talking with Michael, he was giving us a little bit of the history about how this has grown and how that it has gotten to the point where they do have more people who are here. And I'd probably say as I'm looking over there, of course, all the women are sitting together and the men are sitting in, across from them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say there are probably about 40 people over there or so, 40. And then, so when they do the magic show, when I've done this before, we just do it on the porch over here, which is what I'm looking forward to, is seeing Jeff Hobson do the egg bag for this group of kids.
I'm sure. I don't know what their expectations are. I think it's going to be very interesting all around. I'm sure it's going to be a great night. The young kids that we're sitting next to, some young Amish boys, maybe 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, seem very excited. You know, I think it's going to be really fun.
And then we're getting some buggy rides later, and then we're going to have some ice cream over here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Ice cream is like... there are a few good, true, honest, wholesome pleasures in the world. A snow day, I think.
Yeah.
When you're in middle school, you get a snow day. That's like a good one.
Yeah.
Ice cream in the summer.
There's another one. That's it. And in Amish country, can't beat that either.
Yeah, it's a great day. Here we are.
And with all the friends and this kind of beautiful weather.
Isn't it great? I'm so happy, so relieved that this is happening and everyone's here. It's so good to see so many people.
That's right. There are so many people who came out because it's like, I've just got to come. And also because this has been just a something where it's like, well, he's going to be there. I'm going to show up. And I mean, there are people who are not even
performing.
Yeah, the
domino effect.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Each one of us, you know, spurring the other one on. You know, we... My little carpool from New York, we woke up at 4 a.m. to make sure we could get here for Amish dinner. You know, we wanted to be here for this.
You're on time.
Yes, we made it.
Well, we'll get ready to watch the rest of this little basketball game with these kids.
Sounds good.
Maybe jump on a buggy ride and watch a magic show here shortly. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Alex Boyce. This is Scotty out.
Enjoy.
All right, so now this is the Tuesday evening and the night before party, before the actual convention begins. We finished at Shipshawana. It's been quite a day after a golf tournament. I'm just feel like I've been in a convention already, and we haven't even begun. I'm here with David Seebach. Hello, David.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to see you then
Well,
again.
It's good you made the trip up from the Lone Star State here to join us.
And you came all the way from Milwaukee.
It's not quite as far as you came, but 250 miles. The unfortunate thing was it seemed like every mile was under construction or detours, and of course, anytime you have to drive through Chicago, it takes longer than whatever you thought it was going to take.
I was talking to Don Weiberg, and he was saying how many hours it took him. He was going like 5 miles an hour. What was wrong? Construction or car wreck?
Right. It was just that. We didn't notice accidents or anything, but it's that everything is under construction because, of course, road construction up here has to be done in the mild months because they're not going to do it in December.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, everything. This was a terrible drive over here this year.
So you've been at this same place here for many years. Do you own this or do you rent the same place or how do you come across this lucky place? It's a great little bungalow.
Yes. Oh, this place is outstanding.
Yeah.
Julie found it 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And she arrived that year before I did. Okay. And then I came in later in the day and I walked in this house. And these were the exact words out of my mouth. What the hell is this house doing in Colon, Michigan? It looks like something out of House Beautiful or Architectural Digest. Yeah. Now, over the years that we've rented it, because we have now rented it for 12 consecutive years, it's had more than one owner.
Hmm.
So the first owner that we dealt with sold it to somebody else and then said to that owner, well, whatever you do, rent it to these people during the get-together week because they're good, they take care of things, and they clean everything up. Mm-hmm. And the new owner doesn't rent the house to anybody during the year other than us.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Well, and we've never met any of the owners ever.
Wow, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so this is the 10th year of the party
and
12 years of being here.
Well, those are the two questions I was going to ask you about then also. What I think is interesting, we have different waves coming in because of the different things, like we were at Shipshawana with the Amish, and people who come in earlier and then they leave and then we come in. And
right.
So how long does this go?
It'll go pretty late, but you're right. This is the second wave that we've been eagerly anticipating because it's like the A-list, you know, or whatever.
Well, it was a lot of fun. Now, you started about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening?
6:30.
Okay.
6:30.
Okay. And a lot of fun. And, people are coming and going. And this is really the get-acquainted party. Kind of, what do you call this, the night before?
Night before party. Yeah. You know, Hank Moorhouse held a night before party at his house for years. Oh. And then after he passed away, we thought, well, there's no night before party anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we said, well, I don't think we'll dishonor him if we decided, well, we can throw a night before party.
Yeah.
And it's grown like topsy. You know, everybody's who's anybody is here.
Didn't Monk Watson used to have parties also? Or?
That would be a little before my time.
Okay,
I'm certainly familiar with who he was. But my first year here was 67.
Okay.
So,
how long was Monk? I thought Monk was in the 70s, so it wasn't?
Not that I can remember.
Okay, neither here nor there. As far as all the parties and going, and I know coming and going, I mean, like Grant Putnam has had one. Now he's kind of stopped doing his potluck after I don't know how many years.
Right.
And so it's different things, and we're going through we're evolving, I guess. My question is, I'm wondering about how much longer Greg Borden is going to continue with this and if it's going to be taken over by somebody else or not. And so have you heard, you know, anything? Or any?
I certainly don't have any inside information.
No.
However, if I look into my crystal ball, look what happened in the last year to Owen Magic. It went out of business. Now, they still have merchandise, and they still will sell. They have plenty of inventory. But if you want something that they don't have in stock, there's no manufacturing going on anymore. They wanted to sell the company. I mean, if somebody had stepped in and said, I want to buy Owen Magic, I want to carry on the tradition of over 100 years that started with Floyd Thayer, that person never arrived. So Greg and I are about the same age. And if Greg decided that he would like to retire and step down, you couldn't argue. It isn't like he's 35 years old and he wants to step down.
Right.
But who's going to take it on? Who is going to take this on? And after having said that, I also believe that if anything happened to Abbott's Magic, even if there was no formal get-together, I think most of these people would still arrive the first week of August.
And there'd be something.
They would just want to see each other.
Yeah.
They would just want to be with each other. I remember a famous quote from Jay Marshall when he was asked, describe the perfect Magic convention. And he said, no shows, open bar. What are we offering our guests tonight? There's no performing.
Yeah.
And there's plenty to drink.
We brought some rum for you.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and so, you got plenty of food and everything. And
yes.
We got plenty of magicians who will do something.
Sure.
And so we'll still show up without it actually being an organized event.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I can see that. Because it is a get-together.
Right.
It's the whole thing.
I mean, look at all the people who are here tonight. Matt King and Lance Burden, all these huge names in magic.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
And David Seabock.
Well,
I think a lot.
I'm down a few steps of the ladder, but I appreciate your support.
I think you were great. And talking about illusions, and I'm going to let it go. How many warehouses of illusions do you have, or do you kind of rotate through those and sell them?
No, I've rented two spaces in a city just outside of Milwaukee area where I've lived all my life, and I've rented these two spaces since my dad passed away, and that would be 1978, late 1978, and I still rent the same two places, and I've paid monthly rent. I could own that now if it had been a mortgage, right? And the house that I live in has a two-car garage and an adjoining one-car garage.
Okay.
And there is no vehicle
that
is ever going to get in there. And my basement in my ranch-style home has racks of costumes and hand props, and it's everywhere.
I was thinking about that, like with the end of life of Andre Cole, where he had a warehouse of stuff, and then his son was starting to dispose of all that stuff. But he had like two warehouses in Phoenix and two or three, I think, in Vegas. And he just kept stuff, you know. They kept going higher up on the shelves rather than getting rid of it.
Well, think of a Broadway show. Let's take a big Broadway show like Phantom of the Opera. Most people are familiar with that. So imagine the millions of dollars that are spent to create the set. Mm-hmm. And they move that set in. And it's in that theater, the Winter Garden or whatever theater it's in. And it goes. It has its run.
Yeah.
And it'll end, unless it's the Mousetrap, it will end someday, right?
That's true.
It will end someday. And they'll have to take that set out. And what will it be worth?
Nothing.
Yeah. It goes to the dump.
Yeah.
And I think in the world of magic, sadly, that's what happens to the big stuff. I don't think it happens to little things, little collectible items from Owen or Thayer or P&L or Collector's Workshop or Abbott's here. I think those things get saved. But the Dollhouse Illusion and the Azra Levitation, and they just...
You think it's because of storage? And I'm saying that because I'm thinking, for an example, like posters have more value if they're smaller. In other words, if you got like a three-sheet or four-sheet poster, they're worth less money because you can't display them.
Right. Who's got a wall? You know, you got to have a David Copperfield wall to put that.
Right. Very few people.
Yeah, 6-sheet, 81-by-81-inch poster. You got to have a big wall for that.
So those same thing with illusions. That's what I'm saying. I don't think people would want those because they don't know what they're going to do with them.
Right.
They're not performing it.
So the typical or stereotype magician has his magic room or his den, and he's got some shelves in there, and he has a few, you know, collectible pieces and some nice things on there. But does he have a Temple of Benares in there? Does he have a Dollhouse Illusion? Does he have a thin sawing sitting there? Chances are he doesn't.
The typical collector, that's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you came into my home in the living area, you'd see an Abbott's Chest of Mystery and a Divided Lady, but I'm the exception to the rule.
Have you disposed, or have you got some method for disposing of your stuff at the end of life?
I am entertaining offers.
No, I'm not interested. I'm older than you.
Right. But in the last year, I have sold off two pieces to people who wanted some items. Are there things I will sell at this point in my life? Yes, because I think I can't logically believe that I will need those in the next few years.
Yeah.
Are there things I refuse to sell? Yes. I will not sell my Owen Thin Sawing. I will not going to sell my Alice Through the Looking Glass. And there are a number of other pieces can I justify that with common sense? Maybe not. Maybe it's more sentimental.
Of course.
That beautiful Alice Through the Looking Glass that I bought in 1977 and coveted before I saved up enough money to pay for it. No, that's not going away right now. Mm-hmm. But there are other pieces that if somebody says, hey, I really like that Dakota chair that Abbott's made for you. Oh, well, okay, we'll talk.
And they can get hold of you at?
They can just contact me at david@davidsebach.com, as if David Sebach is one word. And let's not forget, Sebach ends with an H, not a K.
And let's end it there then, too. David, thanks very much for hosting
this
party,
Scott.
As you do every year.
Okay.
Have a lot of fun. And thanks for being on my program also.
Oh, that was great fun. That was a lot of fun. I really had a good time on that. You could ask me back. I would agree.
Well, thank you very much. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Sebach. Scotty out.